passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we talked all about the hit US sitcom Friends in a brand new episode of Up Yours.
Why is it that Friends gets this criticism and not like every other TV drama and TV sitcom that came out in the last 20, 30 years?
I always think of the Seinfeld versus Friends thing. And I grew up watching a lot of Seinfeld as well. And I definitely love that show. And it's a tough question to answer. Do you like Seinfeld or Friends more? Because I find that they're kind of the same thing, where it's like, they talk about dating, they talk about sex, they talk about day-to-day lives and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But both are like kind of, I find Friends is a bit more like, has a bit more love in it, where Seinfeld, like, all the main characters are legit dickheads who, like, you don't want to root for.
Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana, and it's only $5, so what are you waiting for?
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com or whatever podcast app you are choosing to use right now. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, postmarks.
Hello, postmarks. Hello, NXT friends.
Friends
today. It's Tuesday and we are once again Spring breaking. It's a real treat.
Two weeks in a row. Just breaking that spring.
Rumspringer. We're a sight to see once again on the Post Wrestling YouTube. It's why you got to subscribe or watch, because last week we wore the Hawaiian spring break shirts. Mm-hmm. We have quite a lot of those in our closet, specifically you. And yet again, here we are. Now you're wearing your WWE 80s in your house, 90s in your house. Sure, you got this at WrestleMania weekend. You didn't steal it, right?
No. Stealing is wrong.
No. And then you showed up wearing this Asahi bucket hat. Now, for some context, you're my roommate. I lived with you for way too many years, but I don't think I've ever seen you wear a fucking bucket hat. So where did you get this bucket hat?
Do you ever have one of those days where you... You just wake up, you reach into your pocket, and you find a bucket hat?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not really, but yeah, I guess that was today?
Yeah.
You look like a drug dealer. It's the combo of the bucket hat with the 80s style.
And the like, root sweatpants.
Yeah. I got this legit on a spring break in Daytona Beach. I happened to bless my father for accidentally booking a hotel one week in the same hotel that a bunch of the cheerleading, like, university things were going on. So I had to, this is a sentimental.
What's it say? Cheerleading.
Cheerleaders. Yeah.
Cheerleading Nationals, Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I keep this one as a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for my spring break in tonight.
Well, spring has broke.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, we're here to talk all about wrestling.
That's right. We're going to talk all about some NXT and everything from tonight and the WWE draft and everything going on. But yes, night two of spring break-in. We did a review last week covering Trick Williams finally obtaining the NXT title. And tonight will be part two. And now we're going forward to its battleground season.
Yeah,
because it's at the apex. And we're going to talk all about some matches that we think are going to be going down in Vegas.
But first of all, the Leafs are still alive.
Whew, barely.
3-2 now.
Wow.
Like, come on. Like, show your sport. Don't you hate those people that just shit on their local sports teams? You got to stand by and support through thick and thin.
Yeah.
You can't have the highs without the lows, right?
I'll tell you, it's kind of been a bad week for Toronto men's. First, Ohtani comes in here and he's basically like, this is why I didn't sign with the Jays. And then smacks one out of the park, just shutting up all the boos. And then we had the Leafs just getting beat up by Boston, which is just a normal thing if you're a Torontonian. But then on top of that, Kendrick Lamar puts out his Drake this finally. And it's just Toronto man's just took a beating this week, I think. But you said it. The Leafs just came back. I don't see them winning, unfortunately. I am I'm Toronto, you know, my whole life, but I don't really get behind it until it's like, oh wait, they're doing really well. They've passed the first round of playoffs. Okay, cool. Because
maybe that's why they suck, because people,
that's right,
people aren't showing that support, you know, showing them the love.
Yeah we got to show the love. The city needs it. It's springtime now, like spring break, and like we said, and it's getting nice here for the summer coming, hopefully. I know it's a good time. We live in a nice condo downtown, and when our roof opens, that usually means summer's here. And then they opened it and it's been like raining.
Yeah, I haven't been up.
So we haven't been yet, but I can't wait to barbecue.
Got a few nice days coming up though, I think.
Excellent.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
And then we'll have really nice days, hopefully, in the early weeks and days of July, because it's Money in the Bank in Toronto the whole weekend with some NXT heat waves. So maybe they'll bring the spring break heat wave up here to Canada.
It'll be hot in July. Normally July is pretty hot here.
Yeah. And I'll give you a little wink, wink, that if you're thinking of coming up for Money in the Bank, come up, make the trip,
do the weekend,
come hang out with the Poison Rana lads and the Post Wrestling Boys, because we may have some tricks up our sleeves, some things to cash in, if you will. So more to come. But if you're thinking, hey, maybe I'll go visit the Sixth. It's a very nice time. I feel like a travel, like it's a very nice time to come to the city in the summertime. It's the island. There's all fun sort of stuff. So,
and if you're in the city this weekend, come along to Gabby's 1 p.m. for Backlash. We'll be there putting it on with the sound on the TV. So come hang out and watch Backlash with us this Saturday.
Yes, Backlash Brunch. I don't know how many people are going to be around at 1 p.m., but we're going to be hanging out at the bar and we're going to have a good time and watch some wrestling. So come hang out with that. And we might be doing some more daytime ones in the near future. So look forward to if you are in the Toronto area. So we're always happy to see some of our listeners and some of our friends who show up and get together and watch wrestling. It's a little wrestling club, but this time it's like 1 p.m. Do I order a coffee or a beer? But it's probably going to be a beer.
Yeah, I'll be working right after.
Right,
so I won't be drinking.
Yeah.
But yes, have some food, though. Apparently, we're on at the TV at Sneaky D's right now.
We're on at the TV at Sneaky D's.
On the TV at Sneaky D's.
Wow.
According to Panzer in the chat.
Panzer, that sounds like it could be Big Tom.
Oh, is that Big Tom?
I hate to think that there's someone enjoying delicious nachos right now, wondering what these two idiots look like. One's wearing an Asahi bucket hat. No. They're wondering, what did they just put on the TV tonight? NXT at Sneaky D's. Maybe they had NXT on earlier. Shout out Sneaky D's. We'll definitely be seeing them in the summertime. If you're coming for Money in the Bank, definitely check them out. But yes, we're going to talk about some NXT. We're going to talk about how the Leafs won. But how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, been working. Checked out a new bar that opened up in Toronto yesterday.
Nice.
A new arcade bar. So that was pretty fun.
You said they had Godzilla VR.
I didn't play it, but it looked pretty cool.
You have my attention.
I think it's the only one in Canada.
I looked it up. I've never seen this before.
It's like one of their like kind of calling cards. They're like, hey, we've got this game.
Wow. Okay.
Cool.
All right.
But yeah, played some pinball. Like that was fun. So yeah, been doing that. I'll be going away sort of this time next week. After Up Next, I'll be going to BC, so looking forward to that.
Nice. Hopefully
get some nice weather there. We'll be hitting up Collision in Vancouver.
Wow.
So if you are in the Vancouver area, give me a shout out, because yeah, would love to say hi.
Yeah, I feel like we have some peeps in Vancouver yeah. that have been messaging and stuff. So yeah, definitely check that out if you're going to the Collision there. I think, I don't know if you're going to go, but we might have a bunch of us going to the Buffalo Aid. I think it's a Dynamite and Collision taping in one on a Wednesday. So we'll probably be at that as well down the line. So lots of fun shows coming down. I went to, I felt like a kid in a candy store because my mom said she got a Costco card. So I was like, can you take me to Costco? Like, I know I'm in a full grown adult male, but I'm like, I kind of want to see what this, I haven't been to a Costco in like 10 years.
Oh, I haven't been.
So like I went in and I just started buying like everything, like prime packets to put in your water, different Japanese sauces and like everything. And I'm like looking at the food. I'm like, can I just want to, this is the perfect place when you have like a giant family. I feel like I'm hitting home to like all the suburb people listening, but like when you have a giant family, it's so much worth it. Cause I came home with like all this stuff. I'm like, I don't really need like 6 deodorants right now. I don't need like all the toilet paper and stuff, but it is to like hoard it away. But I just want to like buy all the meats and barbecue and throw like a giant party. So I'm going to abuse this Costco card.
Yeah, make use of the freezer.
Yeah.
Steaks.
They had some giant, like I was like, Davey needs to come the next Costco run. Cause
that's why I remember when I was a kid going to Costco, there was the like, mad cow disease, like that outbreak.
Okay.
So we it wasn't advised to eat steak in the UK for a little bit, like any beef products. But Costco got theirs from America, so we were able to. So it was always exciting going to Costco.
Shout out Kirkland.
Getting some huge steaks and also the giant tubs of Haribo.
They had those.
That would be dangerous now because I just eat it in one sitting and I feel like I'm going to die.
I felt like I was responsible. Again, there was a lot of things that I put in my cart and then, you know, just put in the cart, but then I took them out. I was like, do I need like a 6-pound bag of wine gums? I really don't. If I brought that to our home, it would be gone by like this week. So it's like, it's just not, we'll go back. We'll go. We'll have a good date and go to the food court.
Yeah, I had a friend of the show, Stephanie Chase.
Yes.
A friend from work, Gareth, both coming over from the UK who gave me a bunch of Percy pigs.
Yes.
And they went. Very quickly. Very quickly. Too quickly.
Yeah.
They're great.
I also shout out our listener, Barack, who gave me some, what did he give me? The Jaffa cakes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Those are gone.
Nice.
Thank you, Barack. You're talking about the city and Toronto and different places. I got to shout out New Ho King because they got a weird shout out in this Kendrick Lamar song.
Okay.
Because the whole song is him dissing Drake, but it's at one point in the song, he references that, like, you might pull up to New Ho King and I'll be sitting there. He mentions he'll be sitting there with a gun eating his fried rice saying, if you pull up, but everyone's shocked because it's pretty like, you got to be from Toronto to know that kind of shit.
Ho King, yeah.
And that's like the open late spot. I always thought Drake was more of a Hong Xing kind of guy, but New Ho King catching a lot of publicity. So there's another spot that people will now just visit because of pop culture. Like they're already pretty busy on Friday, Saturday nights after the clubs and stuff.
Yeah, New Ho's always.
But that is busy. That. I thought that was the funniest. I sent the diss to Wei. I'm like, check out this song. And then he's like, I can't believe he mentioned New Ho King. I'm like, what the? Did he? And then I had to listen back. I'm like, oh my God, I completely missed that. So it was a great Toronto moment. And again, Toronto mans were taking the L, but we'll bounce back. But what's going on with the WWE draft and everything? Because I didn't necessarily check out all of Raw, but I saw that there was some more drafts and Raw is looking pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Raw's definitely got the meat division going on there. Dijak. Finally,
hell yeah, justice
drafted back up to the main roster this time as Dijak. None of this T-bar nonsense.
Will we get the office, the gimmick he's doing now? I think so.
Maybe, yeah. They've toned it down it a little bit in recent weeks.
Dijak, so. Batman.
But yeah, looking forward to see Dijak like actually excel this time on the main roster. I think the one of the things that has been really fun on Raw recently is that kind of. Meat division, you know, with you got Sheamus there, you got Drew, you got Ivar, you got Bronson Reed, and now Dijak kind of fits perfectly into that. So.
Okay, well, wait, Ilya Dragunov is also.
And then Ilya, yeah.
I mean, that's insane. So
Ilya and Gunther on the same brand.
You know, like in a perfect world, you imagine we get some great wrestling coming to TV. Because as much as I know it's been the draft, and I guess that's an excuse, that there hasn't been a lot of like wrestling on some of the shows lately. But it was still just WrestleMania. Mm. So I'm definitely like giving them somewhat of a pass. But looking ahead to some of like the different combinations, like you said, Ilya, some of the guys brought up from NXT, just some of the different people switching, that it actually might create some great stories for the next like year or so with all the different
talent. So many interesting combinations there, which I like.
Yeah, definitely into that. Damage Control, EO, all of them going to Raw as well,
which is great, because like, you know, Becky needs opponents, so you know, Becky v EO down the line, Becky Asuka again. They've always had good chemistry. You've got Kairi and Dakota there who, I think that shakes up the women's division pretty nicely, having them move across.
And then DIY as well going over. I eventually see them becoming tag champs. Hopefully they pick the...
Yeah, I can see kind of Randy and Kevin having a run with it.
True.
Doing what the Rated RKO show this week. I can definitely see them winning the titles and then, you know, splitting off and then feuding down the line, which is something I don't really recall seeing Randy v. Owens.
Yeah, that sounds somewhat fresh. Yeah, there could be some good stuff in there. I wonder if they lose, though, to Tama Tonga and Solo.
That would make sense, yeah.
And some stranger in a black hoodie shows up, I imagine. Is that the talk? Is that... The other Samoan is signed.
Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, I mean, the other Samoan doesn't narrow that down, I guess. But Jacob Fatu, yeah, apparently he could be showing up as well. Like the new bloodline, the Wolfpack bloodline. So the Backlash card looks all right. I think the main event definitely has the juice in it with the first time matchup. But there's still some interest. And I think overall it might surprise because of like, at least people are like, it looks all right. But because of that, when it does well, it's kind of like a underrated card, man.
Yeah, we talked about it on Sunday show, but yeah, I think it's that Jey Uso Damian Priest match where I think both have quite a lot to prove with this match, especially Jey after the you know, disappointing Mania and SummerSlam matches, I'd say. So yeah. Looking forward to them kind of, you know, stepping up and proving people wrong. I think the women's triple threat will be pretty good. As well with Bayley, Naomi, and Tiffany Stratton. I'm glad they're like heavily kind of pushing Tiffany right now.
It's Tiffy time.
Yeah, we've been saying for a long time that this girl is like the future, I think. I think she's going to be a real star in the company. But yeah, I think a draft's nice, a bit of a shake-up. We did go into it on Sunday how kind of we would like to see it kind of, you know, just little things they could do to make these drafts more interesting, because I don't think they've been... the most interesting shows to watch.
No, yeah. We did a whole rundown of last week and everything on Poison Rana. Search that in your podcast app or on YouTube and hit that subscribe, because we chatted all about AEW and everything going on with Tony Khan and the neck brace and our thoughts on that when wrestling fans came to unison for just a few minutes. And then we talked about some Backlash and everything else. So go check out Poison Rana. And on top of that, we also have a Patreon where we do lots and lots of podcasts, wrestling reviews, movie reviews. And well, because it's Backlash this week, we thought we'd look back at a retro Backlash. So this week we'll be looking back 20 years ago. Mick Foley fought Randy Orton, and we're going to chat all about it. It happened in Edmonton, which also features a triple threat rematch of Mania 20, featuring Redacted versus Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Yeah. So we'll be chatting all about that, and a whole bunch of other stuff on there, including The Coach versus Tajiri.
Wow.
Yeah. Backlash 2004. But everyone always remembers Randy and Mick in a classic match. So going to be fun to look back at that this week over on the Patreon. And then we just put out a show this past week, which has nothing to do with wrestling, but Jake from the Windy City, a family member patron, selected Friends. I knew you were going to do that. Well, we looked at the first three episodes of the series and then chatted all about kind of those episodes and our favorite memories and moments from Friends. So any Friends fans out there or not,
yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, we kind of go a bit more into sort of, you know, comedies, sitcoms as a whole, and kind of the evolution of sitcoms and US comedy versus UK comedy, that kind of thing. It was a fun chat. So yeah, check that out on the Patreon.
Yes.
Along with all our back catalog, including, you know, retro movie reviews. We did our recent Paul Heyman Poison Profile that we really enjoyed a whole lot there. Just go to patreon.com/poisonrana.
Yeah. $5. It's $5 to get a whole month's access and you get everything that we've done. So you can go through. There's so many podcasts all at your fingertips for all the long hours of entertainment we will provide. So support your boys. You can also support us at chop-tees.com/poisonrana. Buy yourself a hat, t-shirt, hoodie, all the fun stuff.
Maybe bucket hats one day.
Now we kind of have to, right?
Yeah.
So you took it off now.
I don't know. I'm not a hat guy.
You kind of look like Daniel Garcia with the hat on.
With the hat on?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
All right, for whoever stays till the end of this stream, Davey will do the Daniel Garcia dance in the hat with this photo of Daniel Garcia here as well. Well, should we talk about some NXT?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about some spring break-in night two, week two, from Tuuesday, April 30th, 2024. And we kick off the show. Hey, look, there was a huge title change. The world title changed. And the next week, the show opens with the champion coming out. Wow.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that?
Absolutely. This is what you got to do. Come on. Star of the show.
Whoop that trick. Out comes Trick Williams. And he makes his way. And Booker T is just celebrating. He's going really into the what and all that stuff. And Trick starts off by saying he wants to thank Ilya Dragunov because he pushed me. We went to war. And he says, this camera, look at me. Thank you, Ilya, for everything you've ever done for me and my career. And now I know Raw has got it good. But now it's a new era, and I'm calling it the Whoop That Era. As the one guy in the crowd went to chant, Whoop That Era. And then everyone else just went, Whoop That Era. Classic. We just love making fun of the fans who do the same chant.
Original.
And he says that going forward, things are going to be his way. When he's interrupted, out comes Lash Legend, who has a envelope in her hand. She congratulates him and says that you've proven that you are, in fact, the best here in NXT. And Trick says, hey, Lash, don't you think I remember the last time we were in the ring together, you tried to smack me in the face? And you think I'm just your little Reese's cup, don't you? And the crowd react. And Lash responds with, no, honey, I like Kit Kat bars. So Trick rebuttals with, yeah, well, let me break you off then. As the crowd reacts as I did. And then she goes, no, never mind that. And then he asks, what's in the envelope? And she says, you know, like everyone likes to see you at the top, but don't forget that it all comes crashing down and things are going to get hot around here. So she walks off, not revealing what's in the envelope. But as you kind of pointed out, maybe Trick just watched the video package for the Apex show.
Yeah, it seemed later in the show, there's a Battleground commercial and it sort of seemed the main two featured in that were Trick Williams and Noam Dar. So, you know, Lash coming out with his envelope. We've got the Supernova Sessions next week with Trick Williams going to be on it. I think it's very easy to put two and two together here, and we're probably getting Noam Dar challenging for the NXT title, which makes sense. I think, you know, Trick has that connection with the crowd right now, is a great promo. I thought came across really well here. I like that he was kind of giving Ilya his flowers as well. The chemistry with Lash Legend, obviously, yes, they are a real life couple, but that doesn't always translate to good chemistry on screen all the time. But I think these two just bounce off each other really well. And whether scripted or not, it feels like a very natural off the cuff kind of chemistry. Like right. It doesn't feel like they're both reading lines to each other. But I think it's a good idea having, you know, veterans work with Trick, because he is still quite green in ring as much as we've seen the improvements. And I think Dijak would have been a good person for Trick to face, but obviously he's had his call up. So looking up and down the roster, who is someone who can probably get a decent match out of Trick Williams, just like Ilya Dragunov did? I think Noam Dar's pretty good choice, but like, I don't think anyone's buying any Noam taking the title.
Yeah. You know what? Noam Dar is pretty funny. He's pretty talented. I like everything he's got going on. I feel like this isn't necessarily your big pay-per-view, but it seems like this is a test of something at this Apex venue in the first place. And adding this show, kind of switching and doing this.
It feels like, Heat Wave is going to be like the bigger show.
Yeah. Because
that's at, you know, Scotiabank and all that. Whereas this, it's going to feel like, it's going to feel kind of like an NXT TV show, the size of this sort of studio.
Yeah. So I will say, though, that I'm pretty sure we've seen these two wrestle before, but
they've got history. Yeah. They did the like sort of boxing style match, didn't they?
Yeah. So something tells me, given time and a proper show like this, then actually we'll get something pretty good. So I'm actually like, we know Trick's not losing, especially to Noam Dar at this time and this level, but the match itself could be pretty good. And they haven't announced it yet. They're pretty much just teasing it here with Lash. But I thought the Kit Kat line is pretty good. I like Reese's and Kit Kat. They should like get together or something.
Kit Kat, they've changed the wrapper, but it always used to like come in the tinfoil, and the waferness of it, it always, like, sometimes you'd be like, wait, am I eating the tinfoil here?
Oh.
Accident? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Kit Kat chunkies are...
But then you get Reese, and then the thing sticks to the bottom all the time. Why can't we fix that? Like, we send people to the moon, but my Reese cup still sticks to...
And what's with bacon wrapper?
Bacon wrapper?
Yeah, they're just packaged so weird.
Like,
and why haven't cereal packets and Ziploc, like, you know, got together?
Or else Ziploc would be out of business.
No, Ziploc would be in business.
Like, selling to the... cereal?
Yeah, what are with these bags that don't fold up and everything? Just right. Whereas you could just go zoop.
And then like, why do hot dogs come in 8 and the buns come in 6?
Yeah. Fuck.
Why are groceries so expensive? Yeah.
This world we live in.
Anyways, the opening segment to NXT was great.
Yeah.
And shout out Kit Kats. So we go to Ariana Grace and Gigi Dolin. They're at some dinner or lunch, and Grace keeps calling Gigi Georgina, and she's trying to teach her some etiquette, teach her some manners here at the restaurant, and she gives her some water, and she's hyping her up, and Gigi starts talking about, like, no, I don't want to be a proper lady. I want to be like Natalia and Lola Vice later tonight in the Underground match. And then she starts to hype up Ivar as the Viking Raider.
She's like, and I'm more of a savage, like Ivar and Obafemi.
And then she sips water, and then she's like, oh, I'm so hungry. Ariana Grace is like, no, you don't want to fill your stomach. You're a lady and all this shit. And then Gigi grabs the knife and says she's going to stab someone in the back like JC and Thea have been doing. And then she gulps the water in one gulp and then burps real loud and laughs.
Yeah, we've seen at the beginning of all these sort of themed NXT shows or the PLEs, they have, you know, it used to be like Pretty Deadly would do it a lot of the time and stuff like that, just hyping up the show. We kind of had the cold open this week with Trick Williams promo, but this was just sort of running down what we're about to see tonight. Unfortunately, I just think Gigi Dolin is such a horrible actress that I am not enjoying these segments between these two at all.
I'm really not like, I like these two, but I really did not like they're it felt like it was aimed for 8-year-olds. Also, like, she's just drinking water. I do that every... All right. Well, the Underground match is tonight, the first ever women's Underground match, and we see the challengers showing up here, Natalia with Carmen and Lola with Shayna, so later tonight. But I love Lola's shirt, the Miami Vice like logo, but it's Lola Vice.
Yeah.
And her like Titantron as well. Look good. We go to our next match, though. It is the North American champion, Obafemi, putting his title on the line against the Viking Raider, Ivar. The Mr. Monday Night, as of past little while. Here comes out, two big lads wrestling. The meat is here. And right away, Ivar somehow shoves Obafemi out of the ring and then does a running dive cannonball tope off the apron, starting things off pretty hot here. As they go back in the ring, it's Ivar hits him with the tour of the Vikings, I guess I'll call that, for a two count. When we come back from break, Ivar once again with this huge dive tope off the like ring to the outside onto Oba, which was pretty nuts. They then are back at it with a bunch of strikes, and then There's Oba, who comes back somehow getting Ivar up in a torture rack. And again, these are very big dudes, and eventually runs and slams him down. So like a torture rack into almost like an angle slam or a feast your eyes or something. And then somehow Ivar kicks out, and then he goes up top and hits the moonsault. And when I say Ivar hits the moonsault, oh boy, I mean that with all the mustard on top. He crushed him. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this guy got up from this, but I literally said to you, how could he kick out of this? Like, that's it. Like, yeah. This guy crushed him. And Oba puts his foot on the rope. Classic wrestling. Vic was quick to mention, like, hey, Oba's really new here, but even he knew to put the foot on the rope. Someone's been training him. Eventually, he gets back up. Ivar goes for the moonsault again, but Oba puts him up in an electric chair, drops him. The ring is shaking. I don't know how the ring didn't break at this point. And then eventually hits a pop-up powerbomb for the 1-2-3. But yeah, a pretty meaty match here with these two big lads.
Yeah, I'm really finding Obafemi's matches quite exciting. I thought the triple threat match at Stand and Deliver probably stole the show. I thought that was excellent. There's something quite ugly about these matches, but in a good way. Like, not everything is pretty, but it shouldn't be. It's two fucking giants going at it, trying to hit some like cruiserweight style moves. The electric chair spot is always impressive.
Crazy.
Like, Ivar's such a big guy, and Femi being able to get him up, the pop-up powerbomb looked good. Yeah, not everything was smooth and like pretty, but I don't think it should be with this style of match. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah, this was a pretty awesome match between these guys. And Oba, having matches like these, keeps giving him this rapport that he'll have these big lad matches. He's going to run out of dudes to fight. But I say that as someone's music hits, and right away I was shocked to hear the music of Wes Lee,
yeah,
who makes his way through the crowd, jumps up and stands here in NXT. He's back and kind of makes it clear that he's coming for the North American Championship. And then they cut away from this way too quickly, because the next segment you could barely hear Fallon and Thea and all them, because the crowd were reacting this like
welcome
huge
back
welcome back and Wesley. And
yeah, I hadn't heard any kind of speculation about Wesley coming back. Last time we saw him, it sounded really serious, you know, that promo. It was very genuine and emotional.
Sad.
And yeah, like, was genuinely really concerned for this guy. He's been out, I think they said 5 months, so that's awesome seeing him come back. I think he is some star power NXT needs right now. After you've lost your Bron Breakers, your Carmelo Hayes's, your Ilya Dragunov's, going after the North American title, which was the title he obviously vacated. I would like to see him in the NXT title picture at some point.
Heat wave.
Yeah, but kind of right now, it doesn't make sense to go babyface with Trick as your champion, and especially as a return. So I think it makes sense putting him back in this division. But yeah, really, really happy to see Wesley back.
Super happy, and I'm hoping this means he's good to go, and it makes it clear that we're going to be seeing him wrestle next week as we get ahead. But yeah, great to see this guy back. He should be one of the biggest things going here. I think have this feud with, he probably faces Obafemi at this Apex show, probably loses, but I would imagine your heat wave here in the six is Trick versus Wes for the title. I that's the biggest matchup you could go from star power and everything. So like, I don't see Tony versus Trick again. He's already lost and everything. So
and
honestly,
he's dealing with the Heritage Cup
right
now as well.
Like last week after Trick won, I was genuinely like, huh, I wonder if Wes would be like some back in time to have the feud with him. And I think that makes the most sense. But it's awesome to see he is back, and I can't wait to see him wrestle again, because he's someone who does not need to be in NXT whatsoever, but he'll have a good year if everything goes well. Well, this cut to Fallon and Thea and Chase Yu, and they're begging Fallon to come out with them because she's her friend and wants her to support, like, and help with Chase Yu. So Fallon says, sure, but you could barely hear this because they were just chanting, welcome back. Well deserved. Justified welcome back chants,
yes,
as TK would say. Well, we go to this match. Thea Hale taking on JC Jane. We got Jasmine with JC, and we got Chase U and Fallon with Thea. And Vic was going off talking to Booker as JC Jane made her entrance, and Jen Booker just yells at him like, "Would you shut it? God damn!" he's just yelling at him, and then says, "Get your ticket to ride," which I did not understand what he was talking. As JC was shaking her ass, Booker was like, "Yeah, get your ticket to ride." I was like, "What does that mean, Book?"
And they, at the same time, Vic is then like just after this trying to plug tickets on sale for Battleground, and Booker's just like, "I ain't talking about those fucking tickets."
Vic then says, "Man, you definitely drank a few too many of those WWE C4 energy drinks." And Booker's like, you got no respect. Mm. No respect. Those things are pretty much like insane. Those C4s, having them at WrestleMania. Those were like the strongest energy drinks I've ever encountered.
It's the official energy drink. Yo, that shit makes
you think you could get in the ring. Well, JC versus Thea, and this starts off with Jane in control. She drops Thea, does a running senton for a near fall. Thea comes back and goes for her springboard coffin drop type move, but JC counters it in midair with her like pop-up neck breaker. This was pretty cool and smart way to do both their moves countering each other. JC then comes back. I think Thea hits some sort of like JML kind of driver for a near fall here, but Jane gets out of that. Fallon is ringside trying to get involved with Jasmine there, and then Jasmine goes to hit the Pele kick when the ref isn't looking on Thea, but Fallon kind of takes the bullet for her, so eats this Pele kick from the former soccer player, right? Mm-hmm. And then Hale gets back in the ring and gets the Kimura for the submission, the tap out that she's been so waiting for. JC Jane taps out. And after the match, they are celebrating, but they don't even look over at Fallon, who finally gets in the ring. And then as they're jumping around celebrating, Chase kind of bumps into her even more, which pisses her off. And then they go to leave, and Fallon attacks Thea Hale and knocks her down and stands tall and walks out. So heel Fallon coming out of this.
Yeah, I kind of question the timing a little bit, especially with Roxanne as a heel champion right now. It seems very thin at this point on the babyface side. Thea is someone I could see being an opponent for Roxanne down the line, but who else is there on the babyface side right now?
Yeah.
You're having your Sol Rukas in the North American title scene. So I'd be interested to see how Fallon comes across as a heel. I think she's a very natural babyface. And Fallon versus Roxanne is something I did kind of want to see, because I want to see Fallon elevated to that picture. I just found the timing a bit weird to do this turn. The match I thought was good. It's kind of wrapped up this JC Jane, Thea Hale story now. JC, I wonder what's next for as well. She was a name I could have potentially seen being moved up to the main roster. It feels like she's kind of done everything there is to do in NXT really at this point. And with this feud being over, and there not being a tag championship for her and Jasmine to fight for, I wonder what's next for her. But Thea obviously entering a feud with Fallon, but I could see her and Roxanne down the line too.
Yeah, the match was fine, but this feud is done, and Thea could potentially be one of the main challengers for Roxanne at the PLE as well, right? But yeah, kind of weird that Fallon would turn now. I do think there was maybe more to go off of she just got some good music. Is she going to change that now? Because she's a heel, so she needs some like heel
who else
country.
Are there on the babyface side?
Yeah,
Lyra's moved up. Like, you've got Sol, but she's in the North American.
It
seems really thin, I think.
Just bring back some more WWE roster.
Some main roster people.
As we'll get into. But yeah, we see a video for Ilya Dragunov being signed to WWE Monday Night Raw. We see a bunch of the trainers through NXT here. Oh, wait, sorry. No, this is the video before that. This was the video for Tyson and Tariq.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that they're athletes and they're lifters, and they're talking about medicine and anatomy. They
think Tyson's like the guy who can lift like 720 pounds. And I think, didn't he just say Tyreek's a dork?
Right. Yeah. They mentioned that they are making their debut here tonight. So we'll see them in action just next. And then we see Natty and Carmen training, kickboxing here to the bag. And Natty must love Rocky IV because she says, I'm going to break her tonight. But we go to our next match. And I mean, I know we just got a video for Tyson and Tariq, but could you at least give them an entrance? Because now they're just standing in the ring and they don't even give Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson an entrance here either. They're already halfway in the ring as we go to this match, which tells me, wait, are these new guys going to squash Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson? That was not the case. We see, I think it's Tyreek who's in there first. Now, I've never seen these guys before, so forgive me if I get confused of which one got slammed here.
Tyson's the bigger one.
Bigger one, yeah. Tyson's the big one. Okay. Vic, for some reason on commentary, mentions to Booker to teach me how to Dougie, which I don't think Booker agreed to do. We see Tyreek hitting like a splash, standing splash for a near fall. And then in comes Tyson. Tyson's the big guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Tyson comes in here and starts running down both Carl and Docs. He hits this like side suplex slam that I've never seen before on Gallows, which was crazy. And then they both hit this like double lift up spine buster. And this was super. This is Doc Gallows.
APA style. Like,
yeah. Holy shit. That was pretty impressive. But Carl comes in, throws the one guy out, and then they hit the magic killer, and it's over pretty quickly. So I was a little confused. They're trying to really push this team and then don't give them an entrance.
No, it's a debut. Like, it's, you know, giving them a little bit of shine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Gallows and Anderson are clearly heading towards the tag titles. Like, that's
what Again,
been,
I guess.
That's what they've been pushing for. I definitely saw more in Tyson than I did Tyreek.
Yeah.
Tyreek didn't do a whole lot. The kind of double spine buster looked good, but Tyson was the one here who impressed and kind of, you know, fitting into that meat division as well. You know, a big lad, but he was hitting like pretty high drop kicks and kip ups and stuff.
Yeah.
So showing some athleticism as well. So these two could be a fun team. But yeah, I thought the stuff with Tyreek was kind of weak when he was up against Gallows. And I mean, we've said it, but it's going to take me a lot to get interested in a Gallows and Anderson title chase.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fine, but I would say Tyson was the impressive one in this match. Some of the stuff hitting on Gallows, who's no small dude either. So I'm interested to see where he can go. We see Ava, and she says she has something to say in a little bit. This is when we get a video talking about Ilya Dragunov and signing to Raw.
She just gets off the phone to Adam Pearce.
Oh, yeah.
Which obviously pays off a bit later.
Yes.
But yeah, has a big announcement.
So we see all the trainers, NXT UK. NXT UK, finally, we got some people signed to main roster. That warehouse in, where was that? In somewhere.
Fuck it, no. Begins with C. I can't
remember. It's a success.
Yeah.
It's a success. You know why? Because Gallus trained The Rock. And NXT UK was a success. All right? Okay, no slander for NXT UK. In fact, bring it back.
So when's NXT Europe coming? It'll be our end of year question again. When's
this coming?
Likely, unlikely.
I don't know. I saw Triple H and the mayor of London playing Twitter games the other day. He wants that WrestleMania. Maybe he'll settle with NXT UK. NXT UK 2.
Yes.
Bring it back. All I know is Robbie Brookside got some shine on NXT tonight, so we love Robbie. We see Ava. She's in the ring, general manager. She reminds us that June 9th is Battleground. That's a Sunday. Makes it easy for us. At the UFC Apex in Vegas, and we will crown the first ever women's North American champion. How the same way the men's title was debuted in a ladder match, and says there's going to be 6 qualifying matches. And then the winners will be entered into the match at Battleground. So there you go. A women's 6-way ladder match for the North American Championship.
Did she say it was qualifying matches going? She kept on talking about a combine.
Well,
and I don't know what a fuck a combine is.
She starts talking about Jada Parker comes out and interrupts her. And then she says, well, I'm out here to say that I'm going to be entering this. I'm going to demolish every woman who gets in my way. And she mentions the combine. And then Sol Ruka comes out and says, you think you're going to win? Well, I'm going to be the first champion and the combine.
So,
and then Mishin comes out. Mishin meaning Mia Yim.
Yeah.
Right.
So a combine is like a whole series of tests.
Okay.
Like, you see them do for like the NFL and stuff like that, where you're doing like,
right.
You'll do a dash, drills. You'll do weightlifting, you'll do all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's qualifying matches. I think we're going to see a series of like segments in the PC of them doing these tests to like
combine.
Prove themselves to be put into this ladder match. But I mean, I think we had the six here, right? It's Jada, it's Sol Ruka, it's Ariana Grace, it's Meechin.
Yeah.
And we'll fill in with two other people.
Yeah. Ariana Grace comes out as well. And well, Meechin comes out and I'm like, oh, she's back. And she then says, I want in this combine. Meanwhile, I'm like, what the fuck's combine? And then Ariana says, it's so nice to meet you. And then Meechin hits her and then it's a whole brawl. And then out come like all the NXT women's locker room to brawl. And so, yeah, the combine next week. What if we had our own combine here?
I've got a brand new combine harvester.
Excuse me?
I'll give you the key.
I don't know what that
you
means.
You don't know that song? I got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key.
You sound insane.
Come
right
on now, let's get together in perfect harmony.
For God's sakes, take the bucket hat off while you sing.
I've got 14 acres and I don't know this 23 because I could have no idea.
I don't know if you're making this up
it's
or not.
It's a good song. It's a good song. I'm sorry, it's not Seven Nation Army.
Wait, who sings it?
The Wurzels.
Now you're making things up. Some British thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure Chris Elliott knows it.
Some British thing, I don't know. But combine.
Back in the old days when we played music, that would be the playoff song.
The combine?
Combine harvester.
Wow. Oh, nice. All right. Well, the combine next week. The combine harvester to see the next crop of NXT women's superstars.
So Meechin, did you take this as like a draft to NXT? It seems like the kind of cool downs, if you will, are never like official drafts. It's just they'll stick around for 6 months or so. But I think she's not doing a whole lot in the main roster. So I think Meechin being back in NXT makes a whole lot of sense.
I think we see her briefly later and she does say like something about like, oh, it's good to be back here for a while.
Yeah.
So she did say like, I'm going to be here for a bit. Mm. So she wants in the combine.
Yes.
But kind of not fair if someone's like, I've been wrestling for like 15 years and there's going to be a combine, meaning a series of tests for all these young talent to enter this qualifying match. Yeah. I'm going to enter that.
Yeah.
In fact, maybe the young kids have the upper hand because they're like hungrier.
Yeah, exactly.
Need to beat that combine. I'm going to keep saying that word. We see Axiom and Fraser backstage. They're getting ready for their tag title match against AOP later when the Street Profits enter the chat. They are also here. I guess all these main roster people all used to live in Florida, so they still do.
Yeah.
So it's not too hard to get them in. But Street Profits are here and say, don't worry, because AOP don't have the heart that you do. And we're going to give you some veteran advice. Never slow down. And then Tez laughs and says, don't listen to anyone else. Just do what you say. And Tez then, like, as they're like fading and they walk off, he's like, I watch every week. Every Tuesday, I watch. Don't slow down. Love Tez.
Yeah.
So we see our next match. The chairman. See, he gets a full entrance.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quite an entrance. The zoom in, the dark, the lights.
The chair.
The chair. The vest. Was he wearing the vest? Probably.
Probably was wearing the
vest. Chairman versus Ridge Holland. So it's the guy who likes chairs and the guy who doesn't like to hurt people. For those keeping score, they go to break right away. This show is all over the place. Don't give me entrances, and then you go give me entrances, and you skip the match. When we come back, Chairman hits a Rude Awakening style neck breaker for a two count. I thought that was nice. And then puts him in a chokehold and keeps putting him in the chokehold. Eventually, Ridge comes out of it with shoulders into the corner and then a pretty nice looking sidewalk slam. And then right during this match, if you blinked and missed it, there was a QR code that flashed across the screen. We'll talk about it in a sec. But there's then the DVD into the corner from Sean Spears. Sorry, from Ridge, because that's what Spears did to him a week or two ago. And then there's the bear hug into the DDT, and Ridge wins the match. So, yeah.
I don't really know. Has Sean Spears won a match yet since coming back?
I think so, but
like he's lost all his major feuds so far with Joe Gacy and now with with Ridge. Yeah, I didn't think a whole lot of this. To be honest, I haven't been enjoying this feud, and I thought this was one of the duller points on the show this week.
Yeah, I'm not into Sean Spears being here. I'm sure he has a lot to help and actually train people and stuff, but for an on-screen character, this character isn't. Isn't it? And the Ridge stuff with I don't like to hurt people and stuff, I hope they just kind of move away from that, because I don't really care about that either. But the main point is, what's the barcode for?
Yeah, I'm watching the video it goes to now. And
oh, it links to something.
Yeah, it's like an old VHS. It's all staticky. It's going to a door. It's
is this the ring?
Car driving down.
Someone's
road.
About to call us.
Illuminati give us imagery.
7 days.
There's a crow.
Okay. Oh, the crow is coming to NXT.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like maybe, is that Sister Abigail's barn? Another crow.
So is this related to the
symbols? They were broken. They were broken in like, I didn't fix them. Fix them.
Okay.
I didn't fix them. I'm doing a live.
Detective.
I accept them. Accepted. I accepted them. I accepted them. Accepted.
Is this another song?
I accepted them.
Okay.
Is what it says.
I accept it.
In the kind of save us Y2J kind of style. The door they opened, it said. Ooh.
The door they opened.
Yeah. So okay. It's more Bo Dallas Wyatt stuff. They open the door, they open the door, they open the door.
Forbidden door.
Maybe.
Okay, so it's Okada.
Yes.
We didn't get him last time.
No.
Who did we get instead? The chairman?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, it's got to be him.
So I think they're just running these, like, Wyatt family vignettes across all the shows.
Right? Maybe they take over all the shows
at
the same time.
Yeah.
Who is in this group, supposedly?
So it's not Braun now, I assume, because he returned yesterday.
Okay.
And feuding with Patrick Mahomes, it seems. But yeah, I think Bo...
Patrick Mahomes is in the Wyatt Six?
Yeah. But Bo, Roman... Alexa Bliss is what I imagine.
Okay. And Matt Hardy.
No. Matt's in TNA.
Is he?
Yeah.
He didn't. His contract.
Short time, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it said broken on this one. So.
True. Yeah.
Broken Matt Hardy in NXT.
So will we see him at. Will we see Bo at Battleground? Is that when he's showing up?
Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, howdy.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, I don't know what that is. I'm assuming it's related to the stuff they've been airing on all the other shows because of the symbols and stuff, the crow and the bird and shit. So I'm sure it's related to that and not just an NXT character, but I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Yes.
So we go to backstage. Roxanne is talking to Ava and she's mad. She's like, I can't believe I didn't get drafted. Like, what the hell? I'm the NXT Women's Champion. Why wasn't I drafted? What's going on? And Ava says, didn't you know that champs are like not there? They are exempt from being drafted. So therefore, you didn't get drafted because you are the champion here. And Roxanne's just mad and angry and starts yelling at her. And Ava says, OK, well, never mind that. Like, come into my office and talk with me. And she goes, no, I don't want to do that. And just kind of walks off. So Ava's like, OK, suit yourself, and goes into her office and kind of assume someone's in there.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, Roxanne did have the great story a few weeks ago before the draft being like, yo, Lyra, I'm beating you and dumping the title.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about it.
Instead, she wins, is now has to stay in NXT because she's got the title. Lyra lost it and is getting that main roster money.
Yeah. And Roxy's like, fuck.
I'd be pissed,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, this is the most realistic
I'd
part
be like, excuse me? Like, I win the championship and Lyra's just got to... A pay rise?
Yeah. Wait, what?
The fuck?
Why am I not? Oh, it's because you're the champion here. Oh. In the past, though, they've had the champions called up. They've had the champions.
Yeah, Indy got called up, didn't she?
Think like Solo had to give away the title. There's all the little, yeah. like, loopholes and stuff. But yeah, thought that was pretty funny that she's like mad. I, you know, you would be too.
Yeah.
But the rules are the rules. Just give up the title. Throw it out. There's still a draft. How many more weeks of this draft?
No, it's done.
Oh, it's done now? It's done. Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, she should have just vacated it. Like, fuck this. I'm calling Aldis.
Maybe she's mad that, like, Ava didn't tell her that.
Right.
But it's like, I knew that.
She doesn't watch Raw or SmackDown.
She doesn't listen to post-wrestling.
Yeah.
Come on, Roxanne. We see Briggs backstage, and he approaches Ivar, and he says, hey, great match there with Oba. Thanks for softening him up, because I'm going to be the one to take that title from him. When Wesley shows up, and Briggs says, hey, I know you're back and all, but I don't think you get to cut the line in front of me, because it looks like you have some interest in Oba and the North American title. And Wes says, like, yeah, that is my title. I never lost it. I want it back, and I'm going to go for it. And Briggs says, well, you can't cut me, so why don't you go pack your bags like you did before and walk on out of here? And Wes says, wow. That went very disrespectful very quickly and says, well, maybe we'll have to do something about that to get to Oba. So it's next week, Wesley versus Josh Briggs, one-on-one. And we assume the winner faces Oba Femi for the title.
Yeah, I would think so. Ivar is also there saying he's not done with Oba yet. So
meat match?
Maybe a, yeah.
Like the multi-man, Briggs.
A multi-man down the line, but... yeah, I think Wesley versus Josh Briggs sounds pretty good. I don't expect Josh to win this. It's going to be Wes. But yeah, it's an interesting matchup, because I think Oba Femi's been so dominant so far that, not the kind of first big feud I'd have thought for Wesley, but
it would, you know, I'm thinking of just Wes versus Oba at the Battleground show, but if it's Ivar Briggs, Wes and Oba, that could be a pretty sick match too. So,
for sure.
And like that could, you either have Oba retain again, so therefore the other guys are protected, but Briggs could still be like, man, if I just get you one-on-one, like I could beat you kind of thing. So that could be something that they push going forward, but either of those.
Yeah. Like Briggs hasn't fully turned heel yet either, but he has been having a bit more of an edge and.
Yeah. He was mean to Wes here.
He was a little pissy, wasn't
he? Yeah. Go pack your bags again.
Yeah.
You loser. Either way, all those matches kind of sound pretty good. We go to a video. Oh, every time this guy shows up on my screen, I gasp. I shit. You can attest to this. I shake. Got me again. The fucking Crypt Keeper.
He looks like the
Paul Ellering.
He looks like the baddie from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, he looks like
the little black round glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the leather pants.
The leather pants. This man's. Oh man, like I love. To hate this guy, but he genuinely gives me the heebie-jeebies. He scares me every fucking time. Like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's Paul Ellering. He says, get ready tonight, the final testament. So get ready. He reminds me of, like, not like Michael Keaton Vulture, but like the Vulture in Spider-Man.
Right,
like,
yes.
The old scary fucking guy. We see Tony D and the family. They're all in the car. They're all packed in this car, and they got a little video here. And they're talking about some business. Rizzo. It'd be lit if Lizzo was in the Tony D family.
She ain't doing much these days,
is she? Rizzo mentions Dollface Danielle, a friend of theirs who's an interior decorator. So she's going to call her and get the things done. And then they mention that they're angry at the No Quarter Catch crew and that Tony wants footage of all the cup defenses lately so that he can study, and says these kids are going to pay up. So for those, wondering what an interior decorator is, you got to watch the Sopranos episode where they reference this. So I thought that was a good callback. But
It's also The Irishman, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right. The interior decorator.
Yeah.
But I think the best line in Sopranos is like, oh, dude was an interior decorator. So yeah, that's definitely that.
So he's still got his eyes on the Heritage Cup because he's like getting stacks. He's like, I want to watch every Heritage Cup match ever.
Yeah.
He's got to learn rounds.
Yeah, yeah. So just, again, they murdered Gulak.
Yeah.
And they've quickly moved on from that, and they want to get the cup.
Yes.
So, yeah. Rip. We see AOP come out, the final testament. It felt like there was a lot of people out here at one point.
Oh, yeah.
AOP, The Final Testament, and Paul fucking Ellering come out to face Axiom and Frazier for the NXT Championships here. Right away, Axiom and Frazier hit topes simultaneously, but they can't seem to knock these big guys down. And then eventually they get caught, and it's, I think, Razor, I always got them mixed up, throws Frazier around, and he was just flopping around here. He was doing his best Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler sells here from different German suplexes and huge Beal throws. We come back from a break when finally Axiom tags in. He comes in hitting a bunch of moves. Sorry, I think when before the break, it's Axiom who tagged back in. But when we come back, Frazier actually tags back in and hits a crazy DDT for a near fall. And then there's a tope where they get caught. And then he throws Frazier like into Axiom at one point. There's then the what is this? Because I swear this should be their finishing move. The like go to sleep combo.
The knee combo thing.
It looks awesome, but it's a kick out because the rope. He kicks out of this at two when like the finisher is just like the side rush. Like, yeah. I know you like that move, but Axiom then drops the rope down, sending, I think, Inkum to the outside. And then Cross and Scarlett try to get involved. And then Paul Ellering try to get involved. So the ref says, "You are out of here." And while he's distracted, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, not the No Quarter Catch crew. What's their name?
The New Catch Republic.
Come on. They distract and allow a roll-up, meaning Frazier and Axiom retain the tag titles. But at one point here, there was like six people in the Final Testament, Axiom and Frazier, Pete Dunne and his friend Tyler, and I don't know what was going on here, but I don't think this lived up to the hype I think we thought.
No, I was really disappointed with this one. I thought the match against Malik and Idris a couple of weeks ago was way more fun, and that's kind of what I was expecting here. I was expecting Axiom and Frazier to win, but I thought we'd get more sort of just fun having these guys being thrown around and beaten up, because some of AOP's moves actually look pretty cool, I think, for the big guys. And then it was just messy at the end. It felt like everyone was waiting to get in position to do the like distraction and everything. The end didn't hit well at all for me. I found this disappointing.
Yeah, I thought we'd see something a bit more, I don't know, with all the other shenanigans and stuff, maybe it just took away from the match.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's a better match in there somewhere, because Axiom and Frazier are pretty good. They don't usually miss, but there's some cool stuff in it. But yeah, we see Chase U and Thea Hale. Great line from Thea here. "Why does this keep happening to me? Why do they keep doing this to me?" Because, yeah, a lot of her friends turn on her and beat her up. And this is when Ridge comes in and goes, sorry to hear about this. And Andre steps in and says, "Yeah, you know, she'll be okay." But Ridge says, "Yep, it's a tough business, this business. So you better be careful." And Andre's like, "Yep, thank you. If you need anything, you just let me know." It was a very strange interaction.
Yeah, none of the Ridge Holland accidentally hurting people. Like he gave Andre Chase a fist bump, and I was expecting it to like shatter his hand or something like that. But yeah, just looks like Andre Chase is going to take Ridge under his wing a little bit, which is just
Ridge is going to join Chase U.
Maybe.
Wow, he's going to become a college student. Maybe that'll stop him from hurting people.
Yeah. Bit weird. Yeah.
We see the metaphor. They're leaving and they're asked about the envelope and they say, "We will reveal all next week on the Supernova sessions," as Noam Dar has got some things to say. So next week. But we see Fallon walking out and Kalani Jordan chases after her like, "Fallon, that's not like you. What's going on with you?" And she says, "Yeah, well, I'm tired of looking out for other people. It's time I look out for myself." So
yeah.
I like her logic. Her logic is what's like the Drew McIntyre logic.
Yes.
Like, hey, you know what? Screw you. I got kicked in the head.
I am loving all the NXT tweets though. Like we had it with Brooks Jensen recently, like after their little angle, Fallon on Twitter, "Everyone just needs to leave me the hell alone."
I feel you. I feel you, Fallon. I think it's, I mean, I'm shocked that they turned her heel, but maybe this is the best thing for her to give her some more TV time. I think she's great.
Yeah, me too.
We see Idris and Malik backstage. They're talking about last week and the broken mirror. And Idris is like, "No, it was a plastic mirror, so it doesn't count actually when it's plastic. And Malik says, no, 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 you broke a mirror. You are cooked. In comes Brinley Reese. And she says, guys, I know what's going to cheer you up. And Idris and Malik say, no, 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 no more working out. So instead, she brings in kittens. And then they freak out because they are black cats.
Yes.
Which is also bad luck. Yes. So when you're feeling down, all you need is someone to go, looks like you need some pussy. It's basically what Brinley comes in here and says.
I guess so. So I guess next week they're going to walk under ladders and we're just going to
step on cracks.
Yeah, we're going to have all the bad luck stuff. But right after this, Booker T just goes, I think Malik Blade is going to get fired. And Vic is what? And he's the bad luck thing. But this is coming in like within the week news cycle of, you know, Cameron Grimes getting released, a bunch of people getting released. We had the news come out today that, you know, Scripps' contract is going to be let to run out.
No.
They're not going to be re-signing him. Not releasing him, but just letting it, like, run out, it seems. But yeah, just a funny line from Booker here.
Yeah, it kind of caught me off guard, and then maybe he realized, like, what he had said. I don't think, maybe he didn't, but just kind of bad timing, I guess. Yeah. Like, oh, I bet those guys are going to get fired. And Vic's like, well, what are you talking about? And tries to pivot really quickly away from that. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other bad luck things these guys are going to get involved with. Like, what else is bad? We've talked about bad luck on shows before.
Under ladders, stepping on cracks.
Breaking out of the back.
What is it?
Opening umbrellas inside.
Opening umbrellas inside. Yeah. Saying, I mean, this isn't theater, but, you know, saying the Scottish play.
Oh, yes. Don't say it.
That's bad luck. You know, what is it? If you knock over salt, you've got to
throw it over your left shoulder.
Left shoulder, I think.
Good luck.
Yeah, stuff like that.
When you cheers, you got to look each other in the eyes.
Yep.
Or else bad luck.
Bad sex for 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. So send us your favorite bad luck and bad juju. So we know to avoid it. And we'll
number 13 showing up, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Love that number. Good stuff.
A bird or flock of birds going from left to right. Well, Lyra's moved on now. But
yeah.
Yeah.
So bad luck coming soon. More bad luck to Idris and Malik. But I thought the kittens were kind of nice. Like she tried to do a nice thing for them. They were kind of mean.
Mm.
They deserve to have bad luck. We see shout out to Ja Reel.
Ja Rule?
That'd be pretty sick, but Ja Reel, the song Paradise. I actually did like this because it was spring breaking last week and this week. They were using this song for all the other stuff, and I thought it was a nice fit here in some, most like some Afro beats on my NXT. So
sure.
Good stuff. We get some announcements for next week. We mentioned the Supernova Sessions and Wesley versus Josh Briggs and the NXT Women's Combine as well. So
yes.
Stacked week.
Yeah. Stax might show up too.
He will probably for the cup. Is that next week too? I forget. We go to our main event, the first ever women's NXT Underground match. This is Bloodsport in NXT. They have no ring ropes, just the mat. And then they got all the NXT jobbers out there, the PC students out there surrounding the ring, banging on the ring. They're not chanting Bloodsport, but they're chanting, they're supposed to be chanting Underground, but they kind of didn't really bang.
NXT. NXT.
Seven Nations Army.
Yeah.
Alicia Taylor, back with the spiked hair.
Sideshow Bob.
She's about to turn Super Saiyan there for a second, but looks great. She says the big introduction here, and it is Lola Vice with Shayna Baszler in her corner, taking on Natalia with Carmen Petrovic in her corner. So the blonde Canadians taking on Lola Vice and Shayna. Lots of MMA and mixed martial arts training. We got Natty with the dungeon. We got Carmen with the karate, I believe. Mm-hmm. We got Lola with all sorts of backgrounds in MMA. And, of course, Shayna Baszler, UFC. So all sorts of stuff going on here. Right away, they start the match and they go flying out of the ring into a group of the like wrestlers ringside. They go back into the ring, and I thought Natalia was showing off some great wrestling transitions and stuff. So the story that Vic, and I got to shout out Vic, I thought he did his best fake MMA calls from the night. Like there, he did
sick,
try.
Sick.
No, he wasn't doing Shane. That was missed though. That was definitely missed, but I thought Vic did a good job here. And, basically like Natalia's mat game because she's the wrestler and all that stuff. And then Lola wanted more of the, like, the strikes, but then Lola also has the submission game too. So there was some good back and forth submission trading. Eventually is an ankle lock. Lola hits a hip check, sending Natty again into the crowd. They're back from break and they're fighting ringside with a back suplex onto the outside. Eventually Natty gets sent ribs first into the post. Lola gets a triangle and starts doing these like elbows, and then they're slapping each other. They're titty slapping each other. They're slapping each other in the face. Natty then lifts her up from this one submission and then slams her to the mat, but right away gets put into a guillotine. Carmen and Baszler now get bumped into Natty when she's putting the Bret Hart figure four on the ring post outside. Eventually Natty then like starts to just kick Lola in the face, and I swear one of these really connected, and then goes for the sharpshooter, but Shayna comes in here because apparently there's no rules and it's blocked. But then she eventually does lock in the sharpshooter onto Lola Vice here, and Lola was doing her best trying to grab for anybody, grabbing people's shirts and hands, but gets dragged right into the middle of the ring here. And she's just about to tap out. She was great here and great looking sharpshooter, but Shayna puts Carmen into the coquina clutch. What did she call it?
Carafuda.
Carafuda clutch. Too many clutches. And locks her in. So Natty now is like, no, that's my friend. So let's go of her sharpshooter to go stop the choke. Goes back into the ring. But as she does, Shayna pulls on her leg, distracting her. As she turns around, gets hit with the named 305 back fist, and then followed up by forearm strikes. The referee is forced to make a stoppage.
He's right in there. It's over. It's done.
And Lola Vice is your winner of the Women's Underground match in what I thought was an awesome main event. This was something so different. Obviously, WWE taken and ripping from Bloodsport and stuff, but they totally made this interesting match. One of the best Natty matches in recent memory, for sure, and really helped get Lola over. Like, that final stretch with the submission, you genuinely thought, all right, I think Lola's tapping out here.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, I think that it's 3-for-3 now with these NXT Underground. I think they've all been, like, pretty entertaining, and I'm not really into the sort of fake MMA stuff,
yeah.
But I thought they did enough like mixing it up with the wrestling, and the Lola strikes look great. I thought you're right, like Natalia stepped up here. A lot of her transitions look really nice. I could have maybe done without all the like Shayna interference.
Yeah.
I know they're trying to like somewhat protect Natty with this win, but I kind of wanted them to just go all in on Lola here and have her win this pretty clean and have this as her. I mean, this can still be her match. This can still be her calling card. But like, I wasn't overly keen on the repeated Shayna interference. I think maybe just having one spot, because you had to like run into the.
Yeah, they didn't need that. Yeah.
I think just the putting Carmen in the Carafuda clutch would have been enough, and quite a good idea to have her break the submission. I wonder if we are going to that Carmen Shayna match down the line as well. But no, I enjoyed this. I like the aesthetic they set out with the dim lighting and the people around the ring. I think they've done these underground matches pretty well so far. And Lola Vice getting that big win, like, she's definitely someone who do we know if she's going to be in the North America? She said she wants to be in the North American picture, right?
Possibly, yeah.
So she is someone I could see putting the belts on for sure.
Yeah, like something like this pretty much baby faces her. And
yeah.
I mean, Chayna was she won in a sleazy way, so I guess not so much, but the performance alone was good.
I do find just it like a bit of an odd couple, Chayna. I know they've both got the like the background.
Yeah.
But at the end, like, Lola's doing the thing where she's like holding her face but starts wiggling her bum, and Chayna just gives a little smile.
Yes, of course. Never forget that after Lola Vice beats you or loses to you, she shakes her bum just for you. Yes, Lola Vice is very nice. I see big things for Lola. This was awesome. Easily her best match. Again, one of the best Natty matches for sure, too. So it was a whole interesting thing. And again, I'm sure people will criticize it because it's the fake MMA and, you know, maybe some of the strikes didn't look necessarily real or too snug in there, but it's wrestling.
Yeah.
So we got to remember that. And I thought it was pretty entertaining. So maybe in the UFC Apex, we get the first ever tag team NXT Underground match.
Okay.
Put them both against each other.
Yeah.
You got the ring in the, you got the real octagon in there.
Sure. Why not?
Maybe Carmen Shayna at that show. Yeah.
Yeah. Or on TV yeah. down the line. Yeah.
But yeah, that was, this was my, my match of the night and the highlight of the show for sure. We then cut to Roxanne watching TV and she's like, oh, like, I can't believe this. Why, look at these women. And Ava says, yeah, come talk to me. And Ava's like, Roxanne says, why am I even here? I just want to leave. And I think brings up the combine once again.
Yes.
And then she says, I had to tell you something before you leave, but you kept on leaving. Roxanne, you have a title shot next week because I make the rules and you don't. And next week, your opponent is, and in walks Chelsea Green, who smiles, who's wearing a bow.
Huge
as
bow.
As a top. She then says, Ava, you are the smartest general manager. You're way better than P-Head Pearson. And I forget what she calls the other GM.
Magnus.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his name?
I think so, yeah. So next week, Roxanne versus Chelsea Green in the NXT Women's title match.
I kind of like now, like, Roxanne has sort of become the Chelsea Green character in NXT, just, you know, whining to the GM all the time. So having Adam Pearce send over the woman who's been doing that to him the whole time kind of makes sense. But
Like,
we often see these people, like Chelsea Green is way more of a character on the main roster than her wrestling. But what we often see when they come down to NXT is to actually showcase a bit of their wrestling a bit more as well. So I'd like to see Chelsea step up against Rox.
Yeah, like she's definitely someone who's had some good actual wrestling matches before having this character. Mm. I always think back to all the OG All In and, yeah. and everything, and like followed her before WWE. And I always thought she had something and always was good at character work and being funny and everything. So if she's sticking around in NXT, that could be something interesting as well. Maybe her and Ariana Grace partner up. They yeah, seem like okay. they could be,
they
you know,
be friends.
Yeah, exactly. They could hang out. But I'm hoping that this leads to, like, what's the match for the pay-per-view there for Roxanne? Because if this is, like, there's no one really else. So maybe next week, Ava could pull a trick on Roxanne and be like, oh, like, I'm bringing someone else back. And let's get the one person that Roxanne's scared of. Mako Satomura, get her back. That should be Roxanne's
yeah,
title
maybe
defense.
For I mean, also we have had you know, we have had times where the title hasn't been defended on the show.
True.
I remember
yeah.
once was they had a number one contenders match that Lyra wasn't, you know, she wasn't defending on
right,
the show.
Right.
So whether we do that, I assume we're getting Julia Roxanne at Heatwave.
True. Okay.
Potentially. So I don't know. Yeah, Mako would be cool. We really haven't heard from her for
ever since she well injured over. Roxanne, really.
So yeah, I mean, that there is the history there. So that is a match you can go to with, like, kind of little build, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know what Cora Jade's status is.
She's hurt. She's wearing the knee brace.
Mm.
Like the NXT curse on the women's division of the ACL injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Because I feel like there's history there. It looked like there were supposed to be plans with them to be heels and stuff, but
right.
that's definitely not the case now.
We also did mention earlier in the show, JC Jane, just very bloodied up. I just saw on Twitter, she posted a picture of, you know, when John Cena broke his nose against Seth Rollins.
Right.
She's just posted that image. So I assume she's got a broken nose. Very bloodied up. After
yeah, I
that
forgot
match.
About that. Yeah, definitely. This week, you know, it had some hits and it had some misses. The good stuff was the main event and the women's underground match. Really think they got something special with Lola Vice in the future in WWE. And I liked the meaty men match, the Ivar Obafemi stuff. And I thought Trick and Lash were pretty funny too.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, Ivar, Oba, and the main event, I enjoyed.
So there you go. That was NXT. That's what we thought. We do post up feedback every week. Search Poison Rana on Facebook if you still use that. There's a page and there's a Facebook group you can join. We post it in the group and we read it here every week. And I'm going to go to Corey, who writes in, largely an episode of NXT this week. Also not a fan at all of Chelsea versus Roxanne next week. Chelsea has negative levels of credibility and both women are heels. I like Chelsea, and maybe this is a moment for her to like remind people and step up in, yeah, and actually have a solid match. But I am a little confused that because Chelsea is also a heel, but maybe because she's the funny.
Yeah, she's very likable heel though, isn't right. she? Like she's popular.
Like she's like the Karen.
She's not. Yeah, she's
character,
not.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's technically a heel, but I think people like her and will see her as a baby face in this match.
Yeah.
Go to Magan, who says, I went into part two of Spring Break-In expecting a reasonably decent show. It was above average. The Underground match was well done. Ivor Obar was solid, and Wesley's miraculous return took it over the top. Just as when NXT's key players left to newer territories, timing couldn't be better. I'm glad the Women's North American title won't be contested in a lazy battle royal. The Combine is a smart idea to determine who makes it. I wouldn't mind if Mia Yim wins the ladder match. They'll need a vet to help lead them as the inaugural champion. Roxanne constantly butting heads with Ava has potential to have it culminate with Julia, but starting the Game of Death style gauntlet with Chelsea Green is a fine start. Trick Williams is entering into Metaphor's orbit again, and Lash Legend's candy-coated flirting, Reese's cups are goated, fight me on that, about his title run going up in flames poses the question, what's hotter than a supernova? I'm sure you all know the answer.
Very nice, Maggie.
What is hotter than a supernova?
Oh, Trick Williams.
Okay.
I don't know. But I liked his love for Reese's cups. Yeah. I always like when people go to bat for their favorites.
Mm.
So shout out Reese's. Peanut butter chocolate. Unbeatable. So there you go. It is, it's over.
That's it.
Someone in the chat, Ginobili, says Mako is wrestling. I never know what his name is. says, June, Mako is actually wrestling at the Kobashi Fortune Dream show.
All right.
She is wrestling again, and maybe we'll see her sooner rather than later. So I'm hoping for that. That's just a dream, though. Maybe she'll join the Wyatt Six.
And how do we say your name?
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening and supporting us again. Search Poison Rana in your podcast app and follow us on all the socials, Twitter and Instagram at Poison Rana Pod, and follow us and check out all the other podcasts that we do. I know there'll be a bunch of shows coming out in the next little while, especially on our Patreon as well. So give us a listen and check out all the fun stuff that we've been doing. And of course, we'll be back next Tuesday night here on the Post Wrestling Feed, as we are every Tuesday night, talking about some NXT. And go Leafs go,
I guess. So
yeah, all right, we'll be back on Sunday as well to chat about some Backlash. So join us on our Poison Rana YouTube pages. We'll go live, audio will go up on the podcast feeds afterwards, but go give us a link and a follow and chat with you on Sunday about some how do you say Backlash in French? Backlash.
No, let's have a look.
I don't know. That was a
translate
bad
Backlash
French.
To French. Contre coup.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you there. I'm myself, Brayden Harrington, Twitter, Instagram, at the Brayd.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
Je suis fromage. Take care, goodbye, and be safe.
Toodle pip.
See you at the Combine.
Ahoy! Oh,